off. I don't know where everybody is. Let's say it's Sunday, but Sunday hangover. I will tell you the following. For the rest of the simon, and I'm hoping, I'm probably optimistic to finish tomorrow, but certainly Wednesday wanted me to finish with the simon, we should do pretty much the rest of the shops from Dalet on. There are a couple of small shops you can skip. You can do them, whatever. I'll give you the, I will send you the formal list, you know. The easiest way of telling you is what you can skip. So I'll just put it on the board for the moment.
So starting with
your ballot, actually.
The following you can skip.
Chafes is optional. Meaning, it's not, all of them are optional, but Chafes at least made to be optional. And then Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, and Lamed Hey. Although I'll send you it anyway. That if you think it, but Simon Achav Tes, you should look at Prima Gadim. Okay. Anyway, in the Sif Se Das, and there's one Taz. Sif Yud Aleph, Sif Katan Yud Aleph. What? That's what you should see. Yes. The rest of the Tazes you don't need to. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So. Doesn't quite go so well, but I guess with the shear system up there, then it's appropriate that I be there. So, anyway, we will not sing, but we will push our shear system in Masakla. Anyway, so we were up to the we still have a little more Gemara to do, right? So we have to finish dealing with that. So let's move to the Gemara already. Enough is enough. Who would like to read? Metzger. Thank you very much. Beitza b'shishim bein beitza minami. Right. So people say that it's like egg water, which means it has no flavor. So, Amar Lei. What's a beitza sefarach? An egg with a chick in it. An egg which has been fertilized, although presumably far along enough that it has something. Otherwise, you can't tell the difference at such an early stage. Okay, aval. Okay, if it were just a below ethroach, okay, but let's say we're a beitza, either beitza strefa or beta of a Tamea bird, but again, I don't know why you typically have an unfertilized egg of a non-kosher bird, because, you know, whatever, you could. So therefore, we wouldn't say you require shishim, because it would be, the tam would be bato. Eisvei. So you see that there is a concern. It's a funny kind of question. The price is clear, but with the kasha against the statement originally, Beitza b'shishim and Beitza b'na minyan, the kasha was based upon a metzia, it's a fact. So the question is, if there's no tam in them, what does it mean in yesh b'min osein tam? The answer should be, by definition, there isn't, but obviously the price implies it's possible. So the Gemara continues. It's also Beitza fra. Okay, so in other words, it's not considered, it's not a non-kosher species, but rather, because that would be mutter, there would be no tam, but rather it's of a beitza seferach. So the Gemara says, standard kindness, the second part of the braisa talks about a beitza seferach. Obviously, the first part is not a beitza seferach. The Gemara says, okay, so this is a little bit of a stretch. You know, it's a very funny why you switch formulation, but okay, fine. Right. In other words, why would you need the resha and the seifa once the resha is it has no efroach and it's asura? Of course, If there's a frog, it's even worse, because there's much more tam. So the Gemara says... In other words, if that's your proof, it's not a good proof. So that's why, Tana Seifa. Okay. Fine. So you can't prove anything one way or the other. All right. Now, back to the Gemara's, the issues that we relate to right now. Hukazesa. So what happened here? What is Tarba? Chelev. I don't know how. I'm not sure if they're linked at all. The Resh and the Lamed could be swapped, but the Ches and the Taf are not fundamentally equivalent unless it's a visual thing, but I doubt that, yeah.
I just have a question based on Sakharach.
Yeah.
It's somewhat of a side question, but based on Sakharach is problematic because it's in Vela.
It's Sheket Sa'of, I think.
Sorry?
I think it's Sheket Sa'of.
Rashi says
it. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
So, I know this is complicated, but if a by behema, if a behema is slaughtered and there's an uber inside it,
right.
The uber doesn't require shita.
Correct. Neither does if you slaughter a chicken so and the bait has inside it, probably also doesn't require. I don't ever seen that in Befeirish, but my assumption is that that's the case.
Okay.
Because anything inside the thing that you shech, the beitzah is perhaps a problem because the beitzah was laid. So now sort of has its own independent existence.
I just wanted to make sure that like the halacha considers the egg-based reproductive system, or the external reproductive system, being the same as the
one for these purposes. What do you mean external?
Meaning that like since there's incubation that goes on outside of the.
Right. So I think, but I think until it gets out there, it's okay. Go ahead. So Ravashi wanted to be Mashiach and count that which is the kula, the basket, or the pot, had been bolea of a heter and add that to the heter that was still in the pot, kineged yisur. So Amrilei. Right. So how can you, in other words, it also absorbed when you cooked it, also absorbed the parts of the chelev. So you look at the volume of the chelev and the volume of the heter now. Assume whatever it absorbed earlier and absorbed proportionally. Okay. One of the 30 halves, can I get the one half, which is a proportion of
30 to 1. Didn't I tell you you shouldn't make a mockery of the shirim of the rabbis?
Rashi says, even by Yisurim, which are the rabbanon, you shouldn't be. The way Rashi reads it, you shouldn't be mezalza b'shiure by the rabbanons. And besides which, we owed. How did Rashi know, by the way, that Shiurim the Rabbanon meant not what you were saying, but Shiurim by Yisurim the Rabbanon? The continuation of the Gemara. That's how Rashi knew, because he says, and besides which, it's not the Rabbanon, it's a Daraisa. Which meant that the Kasha of Atzal Zalzi of Shiurim the Rabbanon is that it's is that the Isser is the Rabbanon.
But isn't the next day when the Shiurim the Torah?
The whole point is that the first step is the assumption was that his son was treating this as an issur de rabbanon and therefore was being mezalza. So he said, the number one, even if it's only the rabbanon, the half is ayisah chayle, even chatzis is only the rabbanon, still you should be mezalza. You need to have shishin. Besides which, it's the raisa anyway. It's an important point that generally needs to be stressed. Many years ago. I heard a comment made by a young person who was generally raised in a Torah observant home and just said something, well, that's only just a Rabbanon. And what was sort of highlighted to me is the importance of emphasizing, yes, I'm a chalik between the Raisas and the Rabbanon, but there's no excuse to be mezalzin from the Rabbanon. It means that when you approach a Shaila, you have to know that sometimes there can be differences between the Raisas and the Rabbanon and all sorts of reasons. But the idea that, that's only Darabanan should not be sort of on the tip of one's tongue. That's Ravashi was what's that?
He just pointed out that he was not loved as the Bitzel Vashishim. That's what he was making.
Yes, but his first comment was, is don't be Bezalzel just because the Issa is only Darabanan. You still need Shishim.
So
that's an important point. That's all.
Okay.
So this also is quite the part because I forgot some of the Shita regarding Tom Kicker, but the second answer, Al Chasir Shor Mitzvah and Torah, would only work, it wouldn't work for every Shita, right? Because so for Mimbashayin Amino, in this case, if Tom Kicker is only there, but on.
Right now, what he's saying, he's talking about it, what the Issur that fell in is. It's not, the Gemara's Deraisa Darabanan doesn't necessarily refer to what the Tarobes is. It refers to the Issur that fell in. He's saying, firstly, even if the Issur that fell in, eating half of Kazayas Chayla is only Issur Darabanan, because it's a Chatz Shir, don't assume that they have a right to do is also on something that when eating is only Issur Darabanan.
We're talking about the Tarobes.
I think he's talking about, right now he's talking about, I think, the Issur that fell in. You can't use this Gemara as a riot. The Rishonim don't use this Gemara as a riot to prove that Tom Kicker's Doraisa. Nobody, I don't know anybody cites it as such. Okay. So, I just thought it's something else, which I initially denied, but now I accept, is that there is relevance of Chatz Yishir in terms of Tom Kicker. In other words, those Rishonim who say, the Rambam who says that you don't get Malkus when you're Kazayas B'tocha D'Achinas Pras, but you don't eat a full Pras, you don't get a full Kazayas of the actual Isser, that's also because of Chatz Yishir. Well, that's obvious, that I think I've always been agreed to, but apparently even the Rishonim who say that Tam Ki Iker is the Raisa, even when you have less than the Kazayas B'tocha D'Achinas Pras, Rabbeinu Chaim, Rabbeinu the Rimer lines, so they would say, though, that when you have Tom, if you don't have Kesayis B'toch De'as Pras, they also use the term Chatz Yishir for that. Okay. What's odd about that is Chatz Yishir, is that normally, I don't know if you know this, the machlokas beishamay and beishel, what the shir and bayirah bayimatzeh is for chametz. It's the first mishnah in Beitza, and the way the Gemara explains, the first mishnah sounds like it could be an isser about the isser achila. In other words, isser and kazayas have the same shir or a different shir. So the Gemara ends up saying that the machlokas beishamay and beishel is about what is the shir for chametz of a on bayirah bayimatzeh. So the achronim asks the question, who cares? Chatz Yishir is also minat Torah. There's no malchus for bayir or bayir matz anyway because it's a lav shem ma'isa. So what's the nafkamina? What the shir is? So some point to a Rambam who says that if you buy chametz in Pesach, you get malchus for bayir or bayir matz. Okay, so that could be a nafkamina. Then you need to know what the shir is. But if you look, I forget where it is. It's somewhere in our Chayim. I want to say there's a tzlach about this, who suggests that Chatz Yishir, there are many cases. I mean, this is always comes up. This comes up in Shabbos. Sometimes Chatz Yishir is not minat Torah, it's only midrabanan. So one of the criteria that suggested that in order for Chatz Yishir minat Torah is that it has to be something that's automatically mitzarif. And therefore, I forget if it's the Tzlach who suggests, Tzlach is the Nodeb Yehuda. This is a Perush, Tzim Lenevashayda, which is a Chidushim on Shas. So I think he's the one who suggests that in order for Chatz Yishir to be also minat Torah, it has to be something that's, I think, automatically mitzarif. And he says that if you buy half a kazayas of chametz on Pesach, if you have half a chatz kazayas on Pesach, and then you destroy it, and then you get another half the kazayas, you don't violate anything. Because you have, in order to violate, in other words, that half kazayas is gone, it's not mitzarif to the half a kazayas that follows. And therefore, I think that's one of the svaras that's given. So one of the things that you see is that in order, and I think this is pretty clear, in order for Chatz Yishir to be minat Torah, it has to be chazir litzterufe. It has to be roi to combine with something else. So if I eat half a kazayas of chaylev, if I eat, even though that chaylev is gone, if I eat another half a kazayas within kedei achilas pras, that would be an issur d'oraisa where I would get malchus for that. So that's why, so you only say Chatz Yishir usher is minat Torah when it's roi litzterufe for a full shir. But lechora for those Rishonim who say that you don't get Malkos because you don't have a Kazayas Achilas Pras, I'm not sure why it makes sense to call it a Chatz Yishir. It's not right. I mean, you could call it a Chatz Yishir, but it's only Drabanan. Because it's not chazid mitzaruche, so it wouldn't really explain their shita. Because no matter how much you eat, you'll never get a kazayis without the chilas pras to violate the lav sheish b'malchus. The point is, when I have this half a kazayis chaylev, it is royal litzar. Bring another half and within a certain time.
Right, so won't that be true for kazayis terubis?
No, because no matter how much of this that, oh, you want to say if you bring it, yeah, but the svara is that, I don't know, maybe. In other words, I think that we're possibly, okay, anyway. All right, so let's just come back to our question. So bottom line is he says that, number one, even chatzi shir with the Rabbanan, you still can't be misalzon to use less than shishim. And number two, it's not an issa the Rabbanan. Okay, Amar. Okay, on the Bechina, I will expect you to know this chain by heart, okay? Go ahead. It does tell you, they were very, very machbid about being trying to be Omer Davar B'Shem Omer. What?
Maybe do
I understand. I remember that one of the issues that I wrote about, and it wasn't the primary issue, it's not your own work, it's sort of citing about my doctoral exam in rabbinic literature, was the question of the reliability of citations, reliability of attributions in rabbinic literature. And one of the observations, which is not mine, but I pointed out when I was pushed to defend the position I had adopted in the essay, was not this specific Gemara, but in general, you look at the Gemara, it doesn't mean attribution is perfect, but it's not wishful thinking as a certain prolific, but not very good scholar would have us think. Yes?
But if all...
For those who are wondering, the initials are JN. Okay.
Why do a great portion of them not tie-fold
yes.
attributed?
I'm sorry?
Let's say if everything is from Hasina, everything is a tradition, why are there so few attributes?
The point is, that I'm not discussing that issue now. You can look at the Machlokas, the Rama Shuri, but the point simply is, when the citations are in the Gemara, those things, you assume, are reliable, the errors can happen, but they tried with great precision, and you find Gemaras where there are three different versions of the chain of who said what. Okay, so this is unusually long. Go ahead, so what did he say? You get lost in the chain, and he says... Okay, so that he gave up and gave a Dvar Halacha, and he said that Beitza is Asur B'Shishim, and it's Muteres B'Shishim Acha. So, Reb Zeri wasn't happy. Who was Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, by the way? And who was Rabbi Zeira? They each had longer names, and they've each lost the same guttural. Shimon Bar Abba is Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. He and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I assume they were brothers, were Olim, but they had trouble with Eretz Yisrael code. They didn't assimilate so well to the culture in Roman Palestine. Rabbi Zeira was Rabbi Zeira, which means the little one or the young one. He too was an Oles. So anyway, so here he is chastising them, and says he chastised them and says, Re'ei. So you're mocked about Gulhatir. You're setting people up potentially to fail, depending on what you hold. What does Bibai and Lehumi literally?
It was asked
to them. Okay, in other words, they said this, and it was asked to them. Probably Ibayin, who when the Gemara starts something like that in the Gemara, means what? It means the same words of who's being asked. B'nei Beis Medrash. Ibayin, it's a passive, and it, in other words, in this case, it's really literal. Ibayin, when it was asked to them, go ahead, what was the question? Okay, in other words, it's 60 of Heter, 61 of Heter. Okay, which is a strange kind of thing because we're used to thinking of shishim. I forget who says, the Rishonim say, or the Beis Yosef quotes from whomever, that it's only a din when it comes to other beitzim. It's not true because some beitzim are bigger and some beitzim are smaller.
So does that mean that they're asking 61 or 62 then?
Correct.
Yes.
That's what they're asking.
Would the same question could apply to? Could the same question apply to regular Ethereum 59 between 59 or 60?
Yes, but we know the Gemara seems not to be bothered. Everybody seems to assume that when you say Beshishim, everybody being it say when you say Giranasha Beshishim, if you say Giranasha Beshishim and Vein Giranasha in a minion, so you know. That's the only choice. 60 and not like Giranasha. But here they said Beitza Beshishim, they didn't say whether Beitza in a minion or not.
You're saying the general cloud that everyone else assumes that for all other Ethereum we're talking, it's a common assumption.
60 plus the Isser. Okay, so now, so what happened? Ibayinu was asked to them the question, and what happened? Velo, they didn't have the answer. And Umar. Umar Pashit Le Mifshat. So what he's basically saying is that you are causing people, I guess, to make a decision, but you yourself actually, the way Rashi understands, you actually don't yourself haven't established which, you know, what is the line. Okay? Which means the important lesson, which is ironic, of course, it's by eggs. What's the classic Shaila that someone's not supposed to paskin b'fnei Rabo, even what? Be'ez abekutcha, right? Okay, it all comes back to the eggs. Fine, so be careful. Is it egg and milk? Is it basa b'chala problem? Okay. Going back to Danny's question, if the egg is still in the body, that's a question we will have to deal with at some point in Hilchas Basa b'chala. Is an egg fleshish or not? Because an egg is a part of a chicken. So the answer is it depends how fully formed. If the egg is laid, it's not, obviously. The question is, what if you shaft the chicken and you find a fully formed egg inside? How fully developed does it have to be in order to constitute no longer being besar oaf, but rather being beta? Yossi?
So just in the conclusion here, so more partially, Mirshad means what? It means that he didn't get an answer, or that he did?
I think the way Rashi understands, reading the previous Rashi, is that you are presenting it in a certain way as if it's a given, and yet people aren't going to know which way. And if you are machmir, then in din they might be misalz of shaloka din. Rashi writes, so the people are going to assume the kulava. So the assumption of Zer is that Shimon Abba himself didn't actually know which way it was, but he wasn't presenting that. He was presenting it as if it were clearly well known what the bid is, and people were just going to assume, oh, Shishim besides the Beitza, not Shishim Va'achas.
But the previous rabbis,
they didn't know.
So that was okay.
So the point is, when they presented it, when they discussed the matter, it was asked, and they said, we don't know which way. Rashi says you are establishing a line, and you're not telling people where the line is. Okay. You're not being clear on where the line is.
Or it's not that you're establishing an implied line that may be incorrect.
Right. Well, that's the point. Now that you're setting a line, and the people may mistake where the line is.
Okay.
And because the Mar Mishnah Pashit, you don't present any suffix in the matter when there really is a suffix in the matter. Okay. Continue. Itmar.
Itmar, Marbi Tobo Marabuna, Beta Bashishim, Vigasur, Shimazar, Vigasur.
Well, that certainly does the trick, at least one position. Okay, next.
Huda Adonaka Mayor of Leo Barebi, Amarle Abba,
Amarle, he said to him.
Abalo Shir Barbam Bisheva, Vani Ashar Barbim.
Seems to be that what happened was he had a case with 47. And his father was Machmer, and here's only 45. He said, my father wasn't Mekel by 47. I'm not going to be Mekel by 45.
I think the second one does seem more reasonable, but there's
a question.
which goes the other way, which says that my father was made ill by 47. I'll also be made ill by 49.
Right. But that's a difficult reading.
Yes.
It's a difficult reading.
Because it seems like it should go the wrong way. In other words, like, correct. Maybe like 47. Maybe the cutoff was 47, 46, 44, 45 and a half.
Unless there was anything that everyone knew that there was a cutoff, that the case he had was 47.
In other words, it's tafasta mirabola tafasta should have been the logic. But
yeah.
Okay.
I think he changes the gears also to hello, so it's more like a...
Oh, good second suggestion, actually better.
What he said, hello?
Hello, I'm asking.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You could do it. You don't need to. Abba lo shir b'abram b'sheva? Did he not? Okay. Fine. And now, Ahu, the Asa, his brother, right, Rabbi Atusan, Shimon and Gamliel, he split up the Melucha, right, one of them became the Chacham, and one of them became the Nasi. Okay.
Abba lo shir b'arbi.
Okay. Seems to be they had a machlokes as to what their father... Unless it was two different stories. Okay. Fine. So he said, Klum yesh shloshim? There isn't even 30 here. So the Gemara says. So that's from the Gemara. If you had 30, that would have been enough. So said to him. That's it. It's a guzma. No, it's not that 30 enough in Vatel. He's saying, like, it's not even 30 here. Right? That's such a tiny amount. Okay. Fine.
Is that connected by the 30 is half of 60, or...
What's that?
Is that connected by that 30?
Who knows? You know, you had before, Marbar Avashi wanted to use 30 as the shear. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I don't think we need to talk more about it. I think we've said enough about Shishim already. But there is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Daf Samach Pes Samad Aleph. And the Gemara says the following. Rav Achai Shi'er Bechala Bechamshin. He used 50 by vinegar into something. Rav Shmuel Bered Rav Ika Shi'er Beshikra Beshitin. He used by beer. 160. V'hilchasa idi v'idi b'shitin v'chein kol yisurin shabbatorah. So that's the Gemara's maskana of the Zara. Everything is shishim. But one of the things that I'm not going to say anymore, I've spoken about this already, is you can see what's happening if you actually break these things down into their generations, is that they are moving from, starting in the Mishnah, where numbers are non-existent by Mimbishen Amino, it's all about Nosen Kam, and you can see slowly how they are sort of shifting over. You know, you get Batzel B'Kaplet here, you get in the Mishnah, you have Basar Belefes, and slowly they're moving toward, and you can see that Rebbe's children are still working with, you know, perhaps lower numbers or the question of what the numbers are, until finally it seems that everybody's moving in the direction of Shishim. Ellie?
So is there a Nachman where he gives the three different Minyan statements? Is that like a conclusion of the Gemara we're seeing here?
You mean on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis?
Yeah, is it like a conclusion of like this kind of back and forth as to what is Beitza? Because here we have like a definitive, this is what Beitza is.
Well, the truth is, Rav Nachman holds that it's by Beitzim is 60 plus 1. That's very clear from his statement, I think. Beitza b'shisha v'ein Beitza ben aminyan. He didn't say b'shisha v'achas. But so I don't think it's the conclusion of this. I just think that I would argue, in fact, that the sugya of Eretz Yisrael begins with Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, right? He's the first. We started with Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba back apart when we were doing Tam Ki Ikar and that piece of the sugya, but really the Eretz Yisrael material begins with Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, right? He's doing his work in Eretz Yisrael. So I think you have to look at these two pieces separately. In the first part, they are, you know, this is already at a later stage. The Beitza part seems to ignore the sugya here, even though I think we paskin by Beitzim and Beitzim, we pass in 61 plus 1. But I think these are sort of two different tracks. They all ultimately, we wind up with the Babli's conclusion. They all wind up coming down to Shishim. Yeah, and now one other question, of course, that needs to be discussed in the context of Beitza B'Shishim is, assume for the moment that this Gemara means that you took the eggs and you scrambled them. If you don't scramble the eggs, then you have a different problem, which is And what's that?
It's not their variant.
No, it's not a variant.
In other words, the Gemara never resolved that problem. We start off the Gemara with the problem of Mayan Bay Bahama.
So it's a question whether that's, the question is whether we accept a popular idiom as reflecting an halachic reality, you know, enough of reality for halacha to ignore the Talmud.
Well, putting the
let's say it was a Beit HaSefarach. Lenihafilim was a Beit HaSefarach. Okay, and it gets mixed in with 60 other eggs. And you have, let's say, 5 plus cartons sitting here of a dozen eggs each in it. Okay, all part of the suffix. So why is that not so pasha? Why do I say you want to scramble the eggs? Someone said it. Davar Shabaminyan. The question is a base of Davar Shabaminyan? Yavish Yavish makes it better. If a base is not a Davar Shabaminyan, you only need 3 eggs. There is a... there is a position...
Are we also saying that the base of Sephiroth is probably readily...
By numbers.
You can, once you crack the egg, you'll be able to know.
Yes, but you don't know that before you cook them.
Yeah, I think so. A simpler answer, even avoiding the halach question, must be that you scramble them, because if you didn't scramble them yet, it's very easy to tell which one is with the frog, which one isn't.
Right, if you scramble them already, so then right, it would be better off if there's no, we're not talking about Beit HaSefarach here. The other thing that you have to consider, I just consider in this context, I think that this is above a ma'isa, but I'm not sure. There's a practice that people have, women have, I think, not to ever cook an even number of eggs or something like that. Have you heard of that?
No.
Who has heard of such a thing? Yeah, so the truth is it doesn't really make any sense. Right? As you can understand from the Gemara, what good does it do you cooking an even number of eggs? The only thing that would, if you're concerned about the egg having a problem, right, then what would you need to do? You need to cook 62 eggs at a time. So, that's a lot of eggs.
Do you think that's where the superstition comes from?
I don't know, because the point is that if you're cooking them together already, so then grove is insufficient, right? This is the concern is it's mimbishen omino, that one of the eggs is different, that one of the eggs has flavor.
Isn't there somewhere about Psachim that doing things in pairs will draw
I don't
out,
think it's you're suggesting it comes from the Zugos. It's not a Psachim.
It's also yeah. Somewhere in being in Brecha, it's about walking in the Parva. Do you understand the secret there?
No. He's talking about Zugos.
Yeah, the
there's no
pairs.
Zugos there.
Well, how
no, Zugos is an Arvei Psachim. Right.
Having even whatever. Okay.
Anyway, hi.
How about I've heard of an egg pot? Could you? My grandmother mentioned that there's that.
So that I understand a little bit. If you were concerned about getting, you know, eggs that would tray things up, you wanted to cook eggs in a pot where that pot was isolated or else. You don't need to have an egg today. Today it's virtually irrelevant, because today you're pretty much guaranteed that, except for maybe the organic eggs, that most of those chickens have never, and most of those hens have never met a rooster. So,
the part that the judge is giving us some news sooner is,
I was looking into you yesterday.
Oh, I mean, I looked it up, and it's not, apparently it's not that crazy, but, like, turkeys, like, very frequently do have parthenogenesis.
Explain.
That eggs get fertilized though.
They're not fertilized even. They just start
there's
to
a partially developed
embryo.
A partially developed embryo which sometimes gets to an actual visible form. And it's not that uncommon in turkeys.
So, asexual reproduction?
Yes, kind of.
It doesn't exactly wind up as reproduction. Meaning it almost never produces viable offspring. And I have my suspicions of the cases where it does, they just didn't really look closely enough. But
it still develops an embryo.
Which Lechora would have an issue.
Don't know. Okay. Anyway, so before we get to the tour in Beis Yosef, so I wanted to look very, very quickly at the Rashba and the Torah Habayis. Yeah.
Earlier you mentioned having whole chicken eggs wouldn't be a very issue. Why not?
If it's a beta, you mean if it's a beta safroach, maybe. No, it's not. If it's not fertilized, it's not considered beria.
It's a beta from a.
Doesn't matter. It's still not a beria. The egg is not a beria.
Why is it not considered beria if it's not fertilized?
Because it's not a living creature, so it develops into a living creature.
Isn't a Gita Nasha
right? Yes, Gita Nasha. So they talk. We'll talk about when we get to Beth Simon, the Simon Cook. We'll talk about what the criteria for barrier is. Nobody, as far as I know, assumes that an unfertilized egg is a barrier.
Isn't there grape?
A what?
Grape.
No, there's Rabbi Shimon. There's a question of halachas brachos. If you eat one whole grape, you know, whether or not you should have to make a bracha achrona, even if it was less than a kezias. And Rabbi Shimon has a sheet about, in Malchus, about, there's something about, we'll see when we get there, but it's not not for our purposes. It has to have a rachayim, it has to, you know, darshish barachayim. The egg, and that's the, by the way, this thing should get nasha. Get nasha is part of a living animal, the egg is not once it's been laid. Okay. Anyway, so the Rashban, the Taurus Habayis, let's read very, very quickly. Sam, keep you out of trouble. Read.
We're reading the Targad or the...
Targadis.
Okay. Turn it in, Misharim Omed, but we're actually at the Kilos Yisur. El Bechol Ticha, Misharim Di Garcina, Mekari Kachosha, Kachal Kol Teicha, Lul Kriya, Shra, Hadib, Bisra, Peshishim, Kachal Min Amin. I'm Rui Yitzhak, I'm an Amin, Kachal Atma, Asya, Nafka Mina, Dinapa, Lekdera, Achar Oser.
Right, that's the Gemara. Okay, one more piece. Amar. So now, that was just the Gemara. Umikan, read a little more slowly. Okay, so the Rashba says that all other Yisurim also, even the Rabbanans, we have to be Mishayar with the entire thing because we don't know how much it absorbed or how much it emitted. Umihu. So the Raivin has a very interesting claim. It does flow a little bit from the words of the Gemara. The reason why when Mishayer with Kulo and not with the Hayotze Mimenu is because it's only in situations where we say that Chatiha Nas is Nevela. However, something that is Chosen, that you can never, that the Kal Atzma was in, Kal Atzma was also. And it's not Chosen Lehechshera. There's no way to make the Kal Kosher after you cooked it initially in the pot with meat. However, if it's something that you could fix, so then, not clear why, but then the Ravid says, that you make an omed yafet to figure out how much came out. As the Ran says in disagreement with the Ravid, I don't understand. At the end of the Gemara says the reason why we're mishayar with the entire pot and not only with what it was maflet is because we don't know how much it was maflet. It's not because you can't kasher the pot because it happens to be an earthenware pot. It's because we just don't know how much came out. It could be everything, it could be nothing, it could be somewhere in between. So by that token, who cares what the pot is made of? The question remains the same. It doesn't matter that you could kasher this pot. The bottom line is you didn't, and the question is how much Isser came out and potentially flavored that.
I think the problem is the Gemara says, if you know about Chaticha de Nevela, and we can't say that here because it's not true, because we can kasher it later. So you know this Gezeya must not exist. You can't say that this is like Chaticha de Nevela, because you can't kasher Chaticha de Nevela, and you can kasher this.
No, I understand that, but the point, that was to explain why the Kal is Asr. Yeah. That was answering a different question. The Gemara says, the Kal is the Gemara's question was, why isn't the Kal become mutter? Right? And through the cooking process. The Gemara's answer is that the Rabbanon treated it like a Chatichas Nevela, that somehow it was Nesar Tchila, and once it's Nesar, let's say, Basar B'chala Tchila, there's no heter for it later. That has nothing, but the point is...
Well, why can't we ask the same question here also? Why don't we say the thing to Hechshep Hegal, Eliyah Biotev Yishishim, of boiling stuff, if it's not water, why don't we say all the time comes out into this bag of data? The same thing we would say if you did Hegal into this.
How is this real? The Rabbi just says that if I cook the food in this pot, which is, let's say, could be kasher, we make an omen yapa, we don't assume the entire pot is bubbling. So you're supporting that or arguing with that?
I'm supporting.
Right, but I'm telling you is that who just because you can could get it out, the bottom line is you didn't. And now you're cooking the food in
maybe
there.
Maybe you did. I'll say all this stuff. Maybe we'll say you did get it out.
Yeah, into the food that you just cooked in it. And that's
right,
why you have to do a shot. What's that?
Isn't the back and saying if it falls into another pot, now the next pot will be us?
No, he's saying that the food that you cooked in this tray pot, and when you want to be mishar, whether the tarfus is batel or not, you have to look at how much you make it omed yafa, how much the pot emitted into the food. So the Gemara, in other words, that's what the Ran asked in the Ravid. The Gemara says that the reason is not because chalatz monasas tavela, it's because we don't know how much came out. That's the problem. Okay, so this is the sheet of the Ravid anyway. You see, it's derech, not that it's kind of very achar tlachar yad, rejected by the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. I thought you were asking a different question, which is, what if you cooked, let's say, vegetables in a flasheth pot? Could that, and you filled it all the way to the rim, let's say above any level where any flasheths ever went, should that not constitute hagal? And the answer is it might. It might. Okay. Anyway. Nachin Hora Lamaisa, go ahead.
It's like a part of Zarti, the Kabbalah, Zumi P. Harad, Yosef Zal, and then Khalid. Zal, Uminah Tam, Hazat Amarli, Eilu.
Umitam Hazat Amarli, Eilu Diveras, that's what I would say. Dover Zed.
It was that near Yampa, the Kaytam Shar, and then Shar Mikula, that's Isa, Helu Kula, Asur, Hare Atam Akshira, Mide Sura, Mixas Gyu, or Mixas Dan, Shatama Simile, Meshar, Shar, Shabba Mujalat.
Right, so it sounds like he's employing Chatich Hanasna Sevela. The reason it says it makes sense. Ella.
Ella.
The ode.
That's
the other kash at the run. And the olam. Okay, fine. You don't have to read further. The further part is what the Beis Yosef, what the Torah is going to quote from the Rashba. Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. I do want you to read this actually. Elamihu.
Elamihu hecha dinar bekachad hashad
kisayis chalav.
V'achar ka v'asar ein tzarak ala shishim nechalav shenegul ba tahayadin en kama have. V'chein adin emir kisayis chalav dekat yishana she'ena v'as yama. Aval em hayin yishana v'as yama yishlamar dechazar kal shabluha v'til hakaf v'asar v'chalav.
Okay. So he distinguishes between two cases. Right? If it's Yeshana and Basyama, and what does that mean? What did you do with the spoon?
You've used it many times.
For?
I think you've used it many times in the past, and you've used it within the last 24 hours.
I don't care what you did in the past. He says Yeshana or Basyama means it's all. I mean, it took place today. So that is one way of reading the tour. In which case, it seems to other the drashba and the tour citation. So in other words, there's a lot of chalav in it as opposed to one kizayis chalav. So you have to mishayir with the entire thing because if it's potentially all balo chalav, that isn't the only way of reading it. The Beis Yosef didn't read it that way. Anyone know how the Beis Yosef read this line? No, not brand new. Kaf Yeshana Ubas Yoma.
That it needs to be both, not, and if it's only one of them.
No. What did you do today with this thing?
Used it for
cooked a little bit of challah?
No. That's the case of Nir Bakazai's challah. And that's all you women are. Here it's in Yeshana Ubas Yoma. So some said that you cooked a lot of challah. What?
Oh, you used it for meat a little bit of
You used it for basar today, lots of basar. Then you used it for a kazayas of challah. Now you take the spoon and you stick it into a pot of meat. And the question is, what do you have to be mevatel with the meat? Do you have to be mevatel simply the kazayas of challah was bolaya? Or do you say that all the blios inside the spoon became nevela, became basar b'chalav, and what you're being mevatel on the basar now is really the tam of basar b'chalav, not the tam of the chalav. So that's what he says. Fine. Aval Ramban Zal Kasav.
The Mitzvah of the Lord Rina would Hakticha Atzma and Asa Nevela, Ve'en, Hashem Ve'en, Shana Ve'en Kadasha, Elu Ma'ay, Lula Lava.
So the simple reading of the Rashba is the latter reading. And the Ramban, it's basically a machlokas here. Do you say Chatichan Asis Tevela by Dabar HaBalua? In other words, if it's something has absorbed meat and something has absorbed milk, and if you were not a Rabbeinu Ephraim guy, you were a Rabbeinu Tam guy, if something has absorbed Heter and then it absorbs Isser, do you say Chatichan Asis Tevela on everything that's potentially Balua in the Kli? Or do you say no? That Chatichan Asis Tevela only applies when the thing is the end. What shito do you know that might even suggest that you don't say Chatichan Nasas Tevela by Balua and the Kli? There's a shito that Tosis quoted. No. The Urayim. What does he say?
That
Chatzi Chaticha, there's no dinu Chatichan Nasas Tevela. Nistama, the Belias in a pot are less than a Chatzi Chaticha. Okay. Anyway, Setzamach Lokas Arishon. Fine. What do you mean would apply to Kalim? To Kalim or in Kalim? There's a big difference, because there's a funny Ramah. The Ramah has let me just throw the following proposal out. Let's say, forget other foods. Let's say you cook Isser in a pot, in an earthenware pot. So what happens? The earthenware pot absorbs some of the Isser. Why don't you say that both the Isser and the material of the earthenware pot are now nevela, because they're mixed together? Now say, it's not that the pot is also to use because it will emit flavor. Say the pot itself becomes nevela.
Well, that
makes no sense.
Pot's nevela. Like I can't eat the pot.
You know, that's what the Rama says, by the way. He seems to quote such a day. That the cheres, you know, hakadera.
Maybe that's just a halal because now the pot's also hana, but...
No, he doesn't. They don't say it just by that.
So what's the napkin now?
But who says the pot's asabano anyway? Pot's not asabano. There's a discussion about this, but the pasture says when you have a pot that's balua basar b'chalav, the pot itself isn't asabano.
Maybe pot saying that nevela applies by the pot and shouldn't the pot be asabano.
Also, what do you mean by nevela?
Huh?
Yeah.
The point is that the pot itself is not asabano.
The pot's hanan.
If you come up with this idea that the Ramah has, that this pot is somehow now transformed, that the cheres is basa b'chalav, yeah, but that's crazy.
Okay.
Why would anybody say that?
What's not the meaning of calling? Is it just cooking with it?
Maybe, the sheer amount. That, in other words, let's say I only cook one kezayas basa, one kezayas chalav. So I know that all I should have to be mevatel if I'm not counting the walls of the pot is two kezayasim, a basa b'chalav. But now you're going to tell me no. The entire pot is nasis nevela, and therefore, if the pot is 50 kazesim, I need to be mevatel 50 kazesim. A little odd. So anyway, the... fine.
You can't kasher. Right? You can't kasher.
Correct. So the Ramah is going to say it only by things you can't kasher. He's going to quote a Mordechai, which the Shach says means something else. Because there are... go. We'll see when we get to the Ramah, how the Shach understood that. Okay. Sam, I haven't noticed that you didn't explain a certain part of the Torah Sabbath, but I'm going to let you off the hook for now. You know which part was that, and you were hoping I could say, read on.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what's happening.
You know
what's happening, right?
You'll explain to me in Seder tomorrow what's going on there. Okay, fine. A couple more Makoros before we turn to the... to the Shulchan Aruch, Sam. Read the Gemara Zvachim.
Okay.
But you can't warn him what he's eating. And I don't want to go into this Gemara other than to say the Gemara says that he's sort of mavatlin zesa. Okay. And then you have the famous case of the Rush. We'll read it when we get to the Shulchan Aruch, so you don't have to read it right now. The Rush says that if you have one kezias of... if you have one kezias that falls into 29 of dam, that falls into 29 zesim of heter, one kezias of chelev, and one kezias of dam that falls into 30, and then two get mixed together, so he says that it's mutter. And he quotes that isurin are mevatlin ze eze. Okay, now, this is a little bit complicated for two reasons. Number one, and I'll take the opportunity to discuss those of you I discussed and say that for some reason half of you are here. The question was asked as follows: if I have one kezias of dam and one kezias of chelav and 59 kezias of heter, so why is the yisur batel? Why is the dam batel? Because there's 50 kezesim of non-dam there. There are things that taste different than dam. And why is the kezias of chelev? Well, the same thing, except for the following question. On the assumption that when you have more than 1/60th, it changes the tam, will the meat taste like meat, regular meat? Presumably not, because there's 59 kezesim of meat and there's 2 kezesim of other things.
We could say that something only has the power to change, has enough potency to change the taste of the thing it's in, if we would say that.
It'll taste like not meat, because it'll still taste like something that's butchered. It'll still taste like something that's butchered.
So the question is, are we looking at the fact, so the answer to the question should be pretty simple. You know, is it really, does it make sense that it's mutter or not? The answer is yes, because what is the prohibition fundamentally?
Tasting.
It's tam keikar. Do you taste the dam? No. Do you taste the chela? No. They combined have had some impact upon the basar, so the basar tastes a little different, but that doesn't necessarily constitute anything. The case that I wanted to just throw out, which I pointed out that it all depends on which angle you're coming from, was a Choshen Mishpat Shaila that came in, which I don't know the answer to, but I'm curious to hear. Before you respond, take like 30 seconds to think, and I'll explain what the analog is between this Shaila and that Shaila, even though they would seem to be fundamentally totally unrelated. Three people, a couple, a married couple, and a single individual took a road trip. They went on a road trip, I don't know where they went. And now, I presume the issue under discussion are the travel expenses themselves. They drove somewhere, and now the question is, how do they divide up the expenses of the road trip? Do they split it, do they do it per capita? They follow each person, and the couple pays 2/3, and the single pays 1/3, or do you say no, that they're units, and, you know, one, the couple pays half, and the single pays half. So, most of you used to probably thinking in the terms of 3 singles, did that, and the answer's obvious. Obviously, 3 singles, 3 units, not a problem. The question is, you know, I'll explain to you why, I don't know the answer, but why this, what the analog to the Shiloh was.
Because it's
Ishto Kigufo. Ishto is not Kigufo, okay? Okay.
I think he doesn't think it's
different. You wrote the Aruch Shulchan last year that we read actually has a reverse. Regarding it's in Kopehe. Right in the beginning, he has like the Aruch.
For Nemanus.
For Nemanus, yeah.
Okay.
So the work book.
Now the insanity is over. Can someone, what do people think? I'd care firstly, does anybody here have a sense of if there's a minhag kamedina? That's the first question. That would determine the answer.
Well, when you're single, the answer is that you split it evenly. And when you're a couple,
you got that.
The same question comes up.
You're still sorry for getting engaged. Yes.
I think it would depend. I always ask you. Like, let's say you have a ride. It's possible with a certain amount of money per ticket. Because no one's going to say you should split the money per ticket. Because if 3 people go on the ride, buy 3 tickets, no one should say, everyone should pick, each group should pick one.
Okay, no, we understand. That's very clear. We're not asking about the food, how you divide it up. If they each stay in their own hotel rooms, you know, how it works out.
Then there are 2 hotel rooms. Those two should divide up.
What's that?
No,
because one, because if the single stays in one room, in that case he may be paying more actually, well, more per capita, but let's say he gets a smaller room and the couple stays in the bigger room, so then there's no shaila. Each pays for their own room, and that's very clear. You could have the same shaila about transportation as what if they decide to rent a suite jointly in a way that it's now cheaper for them, and how do you parcel out the cost and so on. So forget that, those cases. I want to know about the transportation. That's a clear case. So what is the question? The question, I'm curious if you have an opinion, but I'll tell you what the two tzadim are. One mitzad echad, if you look at the benefit that accrues to people in terms of what am I getting, so one person gets a ride, two people get two rides, and therefore you would say that two people should pay two-thirds, because in the sense the direct benefit that they're receiving from the travel is proportionate to the number of people. However, if you look at it from a different vantage point, let's say they decided to go their own separate ways, and let's say it costs $100, you know, to drive that distance, whatever it is. So if the couple went, they would have paid $100, and if he went himself, he would have paid $100, they would have spent $200. Now, they saved $100 by going together. Now, the question is, should you say then that, arguably, you could say that each unit, they would have been two separate cars, now they each save $50 on a deal. Right, because if you decide to attribute it proportionately, basically the single guy saved much more money for choosing to go in. So the question is, which side are you looking at it from? Are you looking at it from, I'll call it the outlays, or are you looking at backwards of what had been and no longer is? And if there's a little bit of a conceptual parallel to the question, are you looking at it from the perspective, do I taste the Isurim? Or do you look at it, wait, is the Tom Busser still the same as it was before, went before the Isurim fell in? I'm not saying that it's Habatayu, but they're not exactly the same, but because someone asked me in Seder this question, so it made me really think about this. It made me think about the certain parallel, and I was just curious, unrelated, whether people had an opinion, because I've been doing sort of surveys, and I can't get a straight answer. Right? Nobody seems to know what the teretz is here. Adin?
Totally. Related question to the Yoredeya topic.
Okay, that's fine. So if nobody has an answer, right? You know, if you have an answer, think about that question, because it's the proper answer is the what?
I actually think I was in that situation, which I don't remember what we did, though. I think...
That's all good here, are you? So, you know, what you like to think is that the couple says, come on, we'll pay two-thirds, you're with it. And the single guy will say, person will say, I'll pay 50-50. However, that's obviously not the way it worked here, because otherwise it wouldn't be a shaila. If that were the situation, we'd simply say to him, okay, so you pay two-thirds, and you pay a third and give the remaining six to tzedakah, right? Or you guys split it, and you know, or you guys go after dinner, you take that extra six to go after dinner, enjoy yourselves, because you're such nice people and you're kind to one another. And obviously the situation that was brought to my attention by a student of mine is the exact opposite, whereas he timed that he should only pay a third,
really?
They timed that he should pay 50%. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I might jokingly say, but I don't want to insult anybody. I might be insulting somebody in the room. I would be insulting at least one person in this room if I told you where my student is a rabbi. So I might be, you know, maligning and say, well, I understand where he comes from, why they think in that place. So I won't say
anything. The real answer is don't go on a road trip.
Which, by the way, I don't actually know that the people asking the shaila are actually his balabatim and live in his community, so I don't really know. What's that?
No, that was
not the shaila he brought me. Okay. Anyway, yes, I can.
So the other question is, would the rushes going to be the same if you have your pot of 59 kizayis soup, and then you previously mixed up dam and chaleb together, and then that mixture falls in, would be the same thing?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Now, yes, Alex?
Oh, just by the car?
Yes.
I would think that there would be an argument of whether another person would have come or not. Meaning, like, if you have a couple in the car, and, like,
no, we're not. Some others have suggested, more people I was talking to in Seder, and some of the people on Shabbos suggested that maybe it depends on who initiated things. In other words, and in this case, I think they decided to do this together, but the difference between if we agree, you know, to go somewhere versus if you were going somewhere and I asked them to piggyback a ride. Now, I'm not sure, we intuitively think in that case, you know, firstly, in many of those cases, we say, well, I'm going anyway, so don't bother. But even if not, we would say pay your portion. But I have usually experienced the opposite. For those of us who occasionally drive in and are missing a member of our carpool, we pick someone up, right? So they say, you know, if we pick someone with a teammate, they save the $3.50 fare on the jitney. But because I now have a carpool, I save $6-$7 on the toll. So I've had many times when people offer to pay, I say, thanks, you don't need to pay me anything. Said you just save me $6.50. I don't need you to, you know, you save, I save. We all work out together, right? That's the nicest way to have it done. I would never ask anybody anyway for the money. It doesn't matter whether they offer or not. But I think that we're not talking about a case where through their being there, they're going to Hesed, right? In other words, if it was a question of who would go, a couple or a single, and for, you know, then you're right. In other words, they're basically taking up two spots. But we're assuming a case where they're friends, or they were friends, I don't know if they still be friends now, and they decided to go on this road trip together, and whatever. Okay. So there's one question, by the way, you all should be asking about this rush, which the Shach is going to ask and quote something like five different answers to, but it's an obvious, obvious, obvious question. It's not obvious to ask the question in the rush, but you should all be thinking about it anyway.
Right.
Would all Rishonim agree to this rush?
If you hold Tom Kaker's there, I'm gonna end it.
No, then it's even more so you should be in Butter.
Yeah. Every time he says something, we're going to say, he's so quiet. No! Why are you guys not thinking? What about if you're... Then go to a pre-Shachar Slichos or go to a 10 o'clock Slichos at night. So go to a 10 o'clock Slichos at night. Okay? If it affects your sleep and it affects your day, then Yotza Scharo Behefseda. Okay? It's not a mitzvah then. Okay, so anyway. So the question is as follows. Would you expect the Ramah to quote this din? I'll sharpen it. Would you expect the Ramah to quote this din? And if the Mechaber quoted this din, would you expect the Ramah to disagree? Either one. The answer is, of course you would. Why? When one Kezias falls into the 29 or into the 30, it should all become Asura. So that the Mechaber is going to quote this din is no surprise. That the Ramah almost piles on and says that not only is this true by Daman and Nevela, but it's certainly true, the Ramah says, by Basar and Chalav. Let's say Kezias Basar falls into one pot. And the Chatzai is both of the other. So there, even for the Ramah, you'd expect them to be as such. But the Ramah adds this as a Kavachomer, but the Ramah himself should disagree with the core din. Because the Ramah, I've told you this, even though you haven't seen inside, the Ramah paskins Chaticha Nasas Nevela by Shari Surim. So when the Dam falls into the 29, or the Chela falls into the 30, you now have 31 Kazesim, or 30 Kazesim of Isser. Kulawasser. Shach asks that question. It's like four or five different answers.
What are we dealing with?
Dam falls into 29 kazesim of basa. Chela, Dam's
okay.
Definition. Chela.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it wasn't, if it was Jewish Revish, you could recognize the Chela as being different than the basa. Chela does look different. Okay. So anyway, we will eventually deal with that in the Tshuva. We will deal with that in the Shach. Okay. Fine. The last piece is the Tshuva the Rashba. I want to look at just one piece of this towards the end. The Rashba was asked a couple of questions. And I want to go to about 14 lines from the end, which is the word, beginning with the word Avol. Avol Lahagil. Right, it's after Kalabasar Daf Kuches. Okay. So that's where you're back on. Avol. So this is a big issue. What do you want to do here? You want to kasher kli after kli, which is a benyomo, inside a pot. So what's the problem? The assumption is when you kasher the first kli, presumably you have shishim and the mayim kineged what it is pulled. But now you kasher the second kli. Eventually you're going to wind up with iser inside this water, enough iser that it's going to overwhelm the heter of the water, and it's going to be Chozer and Oser.
So we assume that the mechanism through which Havela works is that it extracts.
Absolutely. The difference between the reason why we Ashkenazim do not do Hagalah on Pesach, but we can do Libun Chamor, is because Hagalah works by extracting that which was Nivla. We say Kibolo Kach Polto. However, therefore, on Pesach, since, as you will see from this tshuva, Hagalah relies upon what in order to function? It relies upon Bittul, of some one kind or another, either Bittul of Shishim, or No Sein Tam of Gam, which may not be Bittul by Yisur HaNar or by Chametz. And therefore, you cannot have Bittul of Chametz on Pesach, because there is no Bittul of Chametz on Pesach. Pesach, but Chametz for Pesach is Oser B'Mashehu. Libun, however, is allowed, because Libun is considered Sarfo B'Mkomo. It consumes it or destroys it wherever it happens to be. Okay, go ahead. Right, it's kama batel. You don't say chazra nero. You don't say that when more comes in, it wakes up. Okay? Go ahead. Claims that Yai Nesach is the exception. Below Od,
Ela Sha'af, who mitzarif ima heter la'alot l'vatel ha'sheni haba'af.
Right, the Isser that was Nisbatel is mitzarif with the water to be mivatel the next Isser. Yehuda?
Do we say Chaz Levinaya once it gets to a road? Do you avoid these people?
Oh, no.
But, like, yeah, as you have 1 in 60, you can get to a road pretty fast. Keep going because they deem it to them to get 60 cards.
They don't talk. We did have to discuss the question in Seder, Sam and Adin. What happens if you have 59 kazesim of heter, and you put in, you know, a kazayis of dam, and a kazayis of chaylev, and a kazayis of orla, and a kazayis of basa b'chalav, and a kazayis of you name it. What? Nimbashen amina. And you keep adding, there's all other tamim, but each isser different from the other. Because if you put two isurim with the same tamim, they might be mitzarif, depending upon this machlokas. But the question is, let's say you find 59, 60 different flavors of isser. It's not like I can open an ice cream store like that, okay? 69 flavors of isser. 61 flavors of isser, okay? There you go, add that to the Purim shit. The question is, would you say, but each one is misbatel because the tam of that one is batel? Mistama not, but I don't know why. Okay, so anyway, the araya mehaditanan. Whoa, Gail, what did you just say? What did you just say?
We talked at two different areas in mikvah. On one hand, they say that no matter how much nine chuvim you add to a kosher mikvah, it's always kosher. On the other hand, we talk about when you pour it outside the mikvah and it spills in, we'll say that it can't be rov. The mikvah can't be rov of that. At least either.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
So the norm is kama bata, but for totally different reason. In other words, there's no kama bata. It's that the pashtus is when you put mayim shuvim into mei mikvah kshirim, you are transforming it. Right? One of the issues that you have to, we've spoken about a little bit, is to what extent do you say heter nepach leos iser, iser nepach leos heter? Right? The assumption of the Rav, it seems to be, that you don't say chazer ne'ora, is that the iser is nepach leos heter mamash. That's what would lead one to believe, in fact, that it doesn't matter how much you put in. You can make every food in the world kosher that way. That's true.
That's why we need, but
the rabbi holds aim about this is the race also. Okay. You know how I feel about grammar generally. It's designed to work that way. It's not grammar. Okay, go ahead. And what's the rabbi? All right, we learned this mishnah. Haditnan.
Or Shazaf, or Zeth, Mutar.
I think, didn't you skip a line?
Yeah.
Did I?
Oh.
What type of foodstuffs was that with, by the way? Mimbimino, mimbishino, mina. It's by Mimbimino. So that's not the same thing as this cake. You know, what's the sara to say that chazra v'neiro is asur? We're going to go over chazra v'neiro at the end of Simon and Tzadi test. But we're already seeing the main marker here.
Much more like the chazra v'neiro by Tom than it is by numbers.
Right. Like, you understand chazra v'neiro by Tom. You know, I put a little drop of chazra in the pot. I can't taste it. Fine. I add another little drop. Eventually, I put enough drops in. I can taste the chazra. That's chazra v'neiro. That makes sense. So the raya, bringing a raya from the Mishnah in Arla and Kalakarim doesn't make so much sense. A, it's mimimino, it's not tam. And B, as the Rashi himself will point out, you'll notice, though, that you do have bitul atam there. Meaning, how many saw of Isser do you have, of Arla do you have in Heter? What's the proportion?
Two plus
a little in 200. Or 201 total or something like that. The bottom line is that if this were no sin time, would you be able to taste it? No. So that's what the Rashba is going to say in a moment. Okay, go ahead. You can't do it at once. It has to be kama kama batil. Aval. It's wrong. Lo'olam.
Lo'olam. Tama lo batil.
And?
Afilu v'min v'mina. Kol chanafal l'sov isur.
Right. In other words, if it would have been the same amount by min b'she'eno mina would have been tastable, then it's asa. U'masha
shaninu.
Right, so he says that by mimimino, you would look as if it were mimimino, and if there's enough there that the flavor would come alive again, you say chazra v'neiro. Okay, fine. All right, so let's take, we have a few minutes. Let's take a look now. Open the Beis Yosef. Yes, Yehuda?
The Rosh's case, what if they were, let's say, one was wheat, was Arla apples, one was Arla oranges. Would the Rosh say the same thing?
Arla apples and Arla oranges?
They would taste the same. Yeah, different taste, same
piece. So the Rosh would say that it's butter. It tastes different. Okay. Thank you. Ruben. That was Dalit in the Torah.
Velomi
by Isur Shinasari Beheter. Okay, so that's the svara. What's the basis of that in the Gemara? How do we know that? How does the Gemara know that? What's the makar from Kechal? Continue. So you don't know how much the pot absorbs, so therefore you assume it is completely absorbed. Right, either the pot, if the pot was trade, or if the kaf, right, the amount that you stick in, but only the amount that you stick in. In theory, the pot, the din is the same. If you know that the pot you never cooked above a certain level, outside a remaining parrots of sheep, the same thing would apply. You don't have to assume that more iser than would be in that level of the pot is actually in the pot. A din?
For this could be a thing we'll get to when we get to Canada, but is, if I cook one kazai of milk in a pot, and then tomorrow I cook one kazai, and then tomorrow I cook one kazai of pot, is the maximum that it is absorbed, like, and it's all in the same area of the pot, does it
Well, as the time goes on, it becomes eino ben yomo, so it's irrelevant.
Okay. So, or if I, within one day, I cooked many kizesim.
And the same spot on the pot?
Or the same level. I pour in a cup of milk each time, and it never goes above.
So I think we would say you don't have to be Misharim what's above that, because you know it couldn't have been Balea more than that.
We don't assume it like goes up.
Well, we don't assume that way. That's Rabbeinu Peretz. That's Rabbeinu Peretz by metal. Yeah, but we don't assume that way. Go ahead. Right, that Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay. Well, we don't say that that when you want to be mevatel isur that fell in, we don't say when you count the food of the pot plus the walls of the pot. Even though we're afraid that the walls of the pot might be balua completely in isur when we put hetem in the pot, but we don't assume that the walls have the capacity to contribute to the bittel. Okay, that was, we're not Mishayar b'kadeira atzma. The im. Right, shabala, right? Because you know that the maximum amount of the blios inside this spoon is going to be one kizayis. However, but if it's a kaf yishana, so then, and it means you don't know how much is balua, then you mishara bechula. So as I said, the Darkei Moshe understands that the Torah is talking about a case of where you are bole, where you did many pieces of milk in it that day. So much so that the entire spoon could be balua. And you have to be choshesh for all of it. Whereas if you only were menayer one kezayis, only choshesh for a kezayis. And the Torah does not address the question, what if it were a bisari spoon that was used that day with basar, and then you cook a thing of chalav in it, a kezayis of chalav in it, how much do you need? Namely, do you follow the first shita that you say chatichanas es tevela on that which is balua in the clay, or do you say no, that you don't say chanan by which is balua in the clay? So the Darkei Moshe insists that the Torah is not taking a stand on the issue. The Beis Yosef, however, understood that the Torah was talking about the case where you were exactly that. He's talking about a Hanan case, and he's basically adopting whose position then. What's that? Not the Ramban's position, whoever the other position is. He's saying that you do say Hanan that which is inside a clay. Who's right, by the way? The Darkei Moshe or the Beis Yosef? You know, I believe the Beis Yosef is correct. We read the Rashba.
When I read the Rashba, I read it more like the Ramah, but...
No, I think it's clear, because you look in the Rashba, he immediately, after... The Rashba, after presenting exactly this Shita, he says, Avom hoya yish, yishana ubas yoma, yishloma dechazo koma shabola betoch hafkat mibasar v'chalav, chatichas nevela, v'chulam esharinan, denay denafek minay le'adinan. Avor Ramban's al-Kasha, so he's befeirish talking about Basar B'chalav. Now, you could say that the Torah, and here's what is missing, actually, I didn't check. You could say that the Torah deliberately changed the Rashba's language to exactly what Darkei Moshe said. But I would like to see, I didn't check, in the Rashba, in the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar, how does he formulate it? I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if in the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar, he has the shorter formulation that's being used by the Torah, because remember the Torah doesn't have the Torah Sabayis Aruch. And if that's the case, then it's clear that the Beis Yosef is correct. If the formulation is longer, then there's what to talk about. That it's not clear whether the Torah abridged it because he was just saving space, or he abridged it because exactly what the Darkei Moshe wanted. But at least as it's presented, if the Torah is relying upon the Rashba, and in the Rashba he presents it, you know, A and B, where B is the Ramban and A is clearly the non-Ramban position, then it looks like the Torah, certainly looks like the Torah is quoting the non-Ramban position. The reason it's a problem for the Beis Yosef is because the Torah himself, later, apparently in Siman Kuf Zayin, paskens like the Ramban. That you don't say Hananim, which is below on the Kli. If that's the case, there's a stira between the Torah here and the Torah there. So Darkei Moshe gets around that problem by saying the Torah here is deliberate, you know, what do they call it, strategic, we don't know whether Israel has nuclear weapons or not, what do they call it, strategic.
classical deniability?
No, whatever it is called. This is strategic ambiguity. The Torah doesn't want to wade into that issue right now. So he leaves it open. He picks the extremes. If you only did a kazayas of challah, well, the whole spoon is balo of challah. Then you can be mishar an entire spoon. But he doesn't deal with the case where it's only a kazayas of challah, but there was a lot of basa that was cooked in with the spoon that day, and therefore it might be balo of basa b'challah, or it might only be balo of one kazayas of challah. So that the Torah doesn't take a stand on here, according to the Rama. All right, continue on. In the tour, yeah. That was the last major issue of interest. Go ahead. Okay, makar for that? Tzadi chesam and aleph. Next. Ravashi, rebuking his son. Continue. Right. And as that egg falls into a tashil, an egg beitzes v'rach, you just mishire with whatever the egg was. You don't worry about having multiple eggs. But im. Right. That belongs to Siman Kof Yud. Whether or not it's a davar beitza, it's a davar whole beitza, it's a davar shebaminyan or not. Continue. Well, what? What did he say?
He said those are tests. He doesn't know.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, okay. Chal misbata b'chamishem b'tisha. Thank you for catching that. I wasn't paying careful attention again. I'm looking for something else in the direction. Lamala. Okay. Which has no bittel and Yai Nesach bin Bimino is Oser Mashu, Bim Mishen Amino is Bato Bino Saint Tam, and depending on what that it falls into, if it's a liquid, if it's water, it's Batel with Shulchan Aruch Paskins 1 and 6. And it's the whole Machalukas Achrona, what about other liquids? And that's the whole discussion, one of the major issues in Rav Moshe Sherry cask discussion. Next, the chutz.
The chutz we tell the orlo is from us. She ain't lano atzer
isek. Why do we not have an isek orlo?
So that's what the question is. Does he mean that we don't have bisman hazeh? Or does he mean that this is not the place that we're going to talk about? We'll talk about it later on there. Okay. That's unclear. Yes, but there's a little bit of a discussion about this. Not, I forget who talks about it. Maybe the shach or the taz talks. Maybe the taz has some type of a pill about this. And finally, the Tshuva Sarash, Simin Tess, Sif Tess. Hamisha Vitisha Zaysim. Okay, that's fine.
Nafluba, Shtei Beitzim, Echad Sheldam, Echad
Shachalam. Chela.
Kol Echad Mitzrayv, Im.
Why b'shogei? It's amazing. It would have been aser because they mevatlis l'chadchila, and when you are mevatlis l'chadchila, even according to the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, we're told it's only Mr. Rabbanan, the din of the Gemara is clear. And if you're mevatel b'mezid, it's asur. We assume it's asur. We'll see in the next siman. It's asur for the mevatel and lemisha nisbatel b'shvila. Okay. Finally, b'chein. Okay, so this is the Gemara in Zvachim. It's not clear why the Torah actually quotes this here, other than it seems to be the basis for the, you know, partially the basis for the Rosh's idea, that he's sort of vatlan so it's awesome in a Torah probably to eat it, but your potter seems like kasasra safik. You never know when you're actually eating the Yisr, Yehuda.
If this is really the source, then we should say that even if it's a rove Yisr, it should be the same din, because this is a case of rove Yisr.
Correct. Well, this is a case of kulo Yisr.
Right.
But it's also to eat them there. You just don't get malchus. So that's, whatever, that would be its own topic. Bottom line is, the case is never going to come up. You know, you're not going to get to, you know, where you get a robe of Isser without doing it on purpose. So it would be us or any of Gazayim Batlanish Lachat Chila. right, tomorrow I would like to go through, I'll try to, and you have the list, the inverted list of the shachs there. I'd like you to go through the Shulchan Aruch, go through the shachs, and maybe tomorrow, if not, we need a little time on Wednesday to finish up this, finish up the simon, and then it will be on to Eim Levat Lid Yisrael Lachat Chibah.